Rabosai, so we are continuing the Dinim in Siman Shin Ayin Daled. Last time we learned, we spoke about the Dinim of Shniyim by Avelos, how do I say it? Like the secondary people within Avelos. There's the technical Avelos, which are the Dinim that those relatives that a Kohen is Metame for. And then we have other dinim of avelos. For example, the son of your brother, there would be avelos in that case as well. That's called shniyim by avelos. The halacha is that for one's in-laws, there is avelos also. For, let's say, chamiv and chamoso, there is avelos, but not for acheha va'achosa, or bina and bita me ish acher, so then you're not misabel. Meaning that there is avelos for one's father-in-law and mother-in-law, but not for the other relatives of one's wife. The halacha here only speaks about the wife's relatives. It does not deal with, let's say, the stepmother of a person, right? If one's father remarried, so in Shulchan Aruch, there's no discussion whether there is avelos on the stepfather. So if you look in the Pisrei Tshuva here in Seif Katin Gimel, he quotes from the Tshuva Me'ahava from the Noitim Yehuda's Talmud, Reb Elazar Fleckels, that by Eishes Aviv, so there is a chiyuv for avelos, because if there is avelos for one's father-in-law and mother-in-law, certainly there's avelos for the stepmother. The cheshbon is that a step-parent, there is a din of kibud on the level of deraisa. Kabed es avicha ve'esimecha. That es is marbe eishes aviv. So memela, there is a din of avelos in that case. Memela, since there's a chiyuv of kibud in that case, there's a din of avelos also. That's what the Tshuva Me'ahava says, right? If you have avelos for your father-in-law and mother-in-law, where the inyan of kibud is only midrabanan, so kol shekein there's avelos for a step-parent when there is a chiyuv of kibud min ha-Torah. The Badei HaShulchan raises an objection. He says, I don't understand. When it comes to chamiv and chamoso, the reason why there's avelos is because you're doing it l'kavod ishto. The fellow is mourning because it's considered kavod for one's wife, that the wife is an avelos, so therefore he has avelos for the father-in-law, the mother-in-law. It's not out the din of kavod for that person itself. It's not the covet of chamiv and chamoso. The Tshuva Me'ahava's kal v'chomer that if for chamiv and chamoso there is avelos, certainly for eishes av there should be avelos because eishes av is d'oraisa. That only makes sense if you hold that the chiyuv of chamiv and chamoso is mitzad the father-in-law himself. But if the chiyuv of chamiv is mitzad the wife, so then it doesn't make sense to make this kal v'chomer for eishes aviv. Moreover, the Badei HaShulchan over here discusses that it could be that the din of eishes aviv is not applicable after Misa. Maybe she loses the status of eishes aviv entirely. Certainly after Misa, if you look in the Badei HaShulchan on page 30 and 31, he quotes in the Tshuva Me'ahava, and he tells that there's no raya. And further evidence for this, I should say, is that the chiyuv of chamiv applies is there a mitzvah of kibud for your father-in-law after the father-in-law dies? One could argue that there's no inyan of kavod for a father-in-law after the father-in-law is dead. If that's the case, so the avelos for chamiv is only mishum kavod for ishto. And if that's the case, so then there is no raya to the din of eshes avod. So effectively, the Bani HaShulchan is raising two objections to this tshuva me'ahava. Right, they end up in the same direction, which is that the kal v'chomer of eshes aviv, based on chomiv, is not an accurate kal v'chomer, because the din of chomiv is out covered for the wife, and it can't be covered for the chomiv, because the minchas chinuch himself says that there is no chiyuv of covered for the father-in-law la'achar misa. That seems to be the way he presents it. Okay, so these are the halachas in Se'if Zayin. Sif Ches talks about the dinim of avelos on children who die very young. So if a tinok dies, kol shloshim yom v'yom shloshim bechlal, there's no avelos, even if the child is gamru Sire of a tziparnav, even if it looks like a full-term baby. But after 30 days, there is avelos, unless you know for sure that's a ben ches. That is the halacha, the way it appears in Shulchan Aruch. Now, this din of tinoik toich shloishim yom is a halacha because it's considered a nefil. Within 30 days, if the child is nifter, so the child has the din of a nefil. And we therefore don't observe avelos because it's ki'ilu, the child was never alive. In Rav Shechter Sefer, the Be'ikve Hatzon, on page 266, page 260, so Rav Shechter points out that bizmanenu we taka know that the child is a full developed child. In their times, taych la migayim, you could argue that the child is a nefel, etc. But bizmanenu, that we know for sure that the child is a full-term baby, right? If the child dies, so you can't argue there should be no avelos. In this case, the Metzius teaches me that there is avelos. The question as to whether there's avelos is only a question about that maybe the child is not a bar kayoma, but if we know the child was a bar kayoma, so therefore the halacha is that there should be avelos. And don't tell me because there are some Rishonim who say that there is no avelos unless you're 1,000,000% sure that it's a 9-month baby, etc., 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 even if the child is a bar kayoma, and therefore we should say halachic debe ameko ba'avel, that there's no avelos. So therefore, one could argue that there should be no avelos in this case, relying on those shitas. Says Rav Shechter, no, that's not true. Because we don't say halacha k'tibei ameko ba'avel in an issue that's a question of mitzias. Right? When there's a halachic shayla, so then enochanami, I'll say halacha k'tibei ameko ba'avel. But in this case, the issue at hand is whether the child is considered a bar kayoma or not a bar kayoma. So in this case, there should be avelos, and you can't say halacha k'tibei ameko on the suffix in mitzias. We will come back to this point that Rav Shechter makes a little bit later, but I think it's a point that's worth focusing on. The Shulchan Aruch continues. The Rama writes that in Se'if Ches, if you have a suffik ben Teisha Levishon ben Zayin Achren, Shnehem Misablam Olav. If you're not sure who's the father, the kid lives for 30 days. You're not sure, is the child A 9-month baby from the original husband, from the first husband, or a 7-month baby from the second husband. So they are both misabel. That's the halacha. Shneihem misabel molov. The Taz writes that although we should say halacha kedivrei ameko ba'avel, and therefore there should be no avelos at all, nonetheless, it's a genai not to have any avelos. So therefore, they both have to do avelos. You get the impression from the way the Taz presents it that if not for the fact that it would be genai, that no one is misabel on this baby, so therefore, there should be avelos in this. There should be avelos in this case as well. Meaning to say that there would be avelos in the case of a tarati disasri. In the case where there is a stira, I'm not sure who's the father or not. Excuse me, I said it backwards. The Taz is saying that there is no avelos because it's a genai. It's improper. It looks bad that no one should be misabel when the baby dies. Someone has to be misabel. Therefore, they're both misabel. You get an impression on the fundamental level, if not for the din of genai, they would both not be misabel. Meaning to say, although the baby is definitely the child of one, but fundamentally, mitzad the din of suffik, no one should be misabel. That's the way the Taz seems to come out. Excuse me, hold on for 1 second. Okay, so basically the din is as like, the Taz says that the reason why both parents are misabel is that fundamentally no one should be misabel, but it's a genai not to have any avelos. So therefore, there is avelos that's instituted, and you can't institute avelos for one, not the other. Therefore, there is avelos for both. You get the impression that although by suffik dirabonon lahakel, we ordinarily say that you can't say suffik dirabonon lahakel to eradicate the din entirely. Right? There's a suffik in the Gemara in Psachim, whether hesebah is required on the first two kosos or the last two kosos. But the Ran writes there in Psachim that as a matter of halacha, we paskin that there is a seba by all the kosos. I don't say suffik d'rabbanon lahakel, because you can't say a suffik d'rabbanon to eradicate the din entirely. You get an impression from this Taz that by avelos, I would say suffik d'rabbanon to eradicate the din entirely, to eradicate the avelos in this case entirely. However, there's a special halacha by avelos that's considered a genai, that's considered like insulting to have no one be misabel. Meaning, I would say suffik d'rabbanon lahakel by avelos more than I would say suffik d'rabbanon lahakel anywhere else. And you could get the impression from this Taz that I might say suffik d'rabbanon lahakel even though it's not shayich that we could be mekel in Gansen. One of the people has to be the father. How could I say suffik d'rabbanon lahakel that no one would observe avelos? You get the impression from the Taz that the din of suffik by avelos is strong enough that I would say suffik by avelos even against a reality, even against a mitzius, that one of them has to be the father. Nonetheless, I would say suffik d'rabbanon lahakel. If the pshat would be that I can't say suffik d'rabbanon lahakel against a mitzius, so then the Taz would not have to come onto this new idea of genai. The fact that he comes onto this idea of genai indicates that he's a suffik d'rabbanon lahakel even against an issue of mitzius, and that would be a little bit different than what we said before. What we said before from Rav Shechter, right? Rav Shechter says, "I don't say halach k'tevei amekel by a suffik and mitzius." You get the impression from this din in the Taz Sif Katan Gimel that I would say halach k'tevei amekel by a suffik and mitzius. Now, the Taz tells me that the only reason why both parents, by both fathers, have to be misabel is because it's a genai, it's an insult. That means, in the Piskei Tshuva Os Yud, Excuse me, the Pisrei Tshuva Osir Aleph. He says, one second. That means that only if both parents are alive do I assume they both have to be misabel. But if one of them died, so there's no genai, you could say that the other guy was the father of this baby. So therefore, there would be no avelos in this case. The issue at hand is an issue of, is there genai or is there no genai? Once one of the potential fathers died, so therefore there is no din of genai at all. That's the impression, that's the halacha, the way the Pisrei Tshuva quotes it in Sif Katin Yud Aleph, meaning when there's no genai, I'll say Safik Dirabbanon Lahakel. Now Lacha'ira, this entire din is predicated on the fact that it's a Safik Dirabbanon. Let's say I have DNA evidence. Who is the father of this child? Can DNA evidence work? So the pashtus is that DNA evidence removes any possible suffix. I know who the father is. How do I know who the father is? I have DNA evidence that, right, the ben sheva la'achrin. I know that the child is a seven-month baby from the second husband. DNA evidence. L'cha'ora, that should work. The Badei HaShulchan, however, says that he is uncertain whether we should use DNA evidence in this case. It's the Badei HaShulchan, page 36 in the Beit Urim. Now, the Cheshbon over here is as follows. Many poskim are nervous about using DNA evidence lahalacha. They're nervous about it because they're worried that you might paskin that somebody is a mamzer based on DNA evidence. That's why even when it came to the attack on the Twin Towers, 9/11, so how can you identify whether someone is dead? If you have some DNA evidence of the person, is that sufficient evidence that the person was in the Twin Towers? And once it's sufficient evidence that the person is in the Twin Towers, so then once there's sufficient evidence that the person is in the Twin Towers, so then we would paskin that the husband is presumed dead and be matir d'aguna. One of the real shilas that the poskim dealt with at that time is, do we trust DNA evidence or not, lahalacha? Rabbi Yashiv is quoted as saying, don't rely on DNA evidence. Because he was nervous about the mamzeris issue, we in the Kol HaElyon that year were learning in Yanei Agunas. It just worked out. They were learning Agunas when 9/11 happened. Remember, every day in front of the Beis Medrash should be a bezdin of Rav Schechter, Rabbi Willig, and Rabbi Reis to try to be matir in the Agunas. So in the Kol Tzvi, which is the journal that the Kol HaElyon puts out, in the Kol Tzvi that year, they have lots of tshuvas about being matir agunis. Reb Zalman Nechemiah, Rabbi Willig wrote the shaylos to Reb Zalman Nechemiah. Reb Zalman Nechemiah answered, and there's a tshuva from Chacham Avadi Yosef there in that Kol Tzvi about the use of DNA evidence. And he says, which I think is a davar pashut, that of course we rely on DNA evidence. Aye, there's this concern that maybe you'll prove a child is a mamzer based on DNA evidence. So I think, enochanami, DNA evidence, it's like a one in, what is it, like 3 million chance that you're going to mess it up? Right? I need some of my scientists in cheer, right? Like, what's the likelihood that you're going to blow it based on DNA evidence? It's kamat not shayach. So the concern that the child might be a mamzer, I don't know if it's such a reasonable concern. And therefore, the pashtus is that there should be... the pashtus is that when you have a shayla, ben teisha l'rishon, ben sheva l'acharon, you should be able to mevarer that shayla based on DNA evidence. I think that's the pashtus. And again, then Chacham Avad Yosef has that tshuva in the Kol Tzvi, volume 4. Let's go on. Shulchan Aruch in, by the way, the din of Shnehem B'chayim that we mentioned before, the din of Genai, it's not only in the Pesach Tshuva, Reb Kiva Eger also has it. Okay, fine. Sif Tes. If you have twins, and one of the twins dies toch shloshim, and the other twin dies la'achar shloshim, So the Shulchan Aruch has a cryptic lashon, ein misablim olov. There's no avelos for him. So there's no avelos for who? For him. Does that mean that there's no avelos for the first son, but the second son there is avelos? Remember, the first one dies toshloshim. The other one dies achashloshim. The problem is, if you have twins, the assumption is that there was one drop of sperm that divided into two. So therefore, what should be the din on one should be the din on the other as well. Or that's the way some of the poskim present this question. So when it says, ein misablim olov, the Shach and the Taz both quote from the Lavush, the ein misablim even on the Sheni. The fact that these two children are the product of the same seed, so that indicates that the seed was split in half. So you have the same din on both children. Since one of them died toch shloshim, and one of them is a nafel, we assume the other one was a nafel also. It's just it was a nafel who hung out a little bit longer. So therefore, the Lavush says there's no avelos for either of them. The Taz points out, according to the Lavush, the din is true because the second child was a chola. If the second child is not sick, I'm not going to argue that there is no avelos at all in this case. Okay. Most of the Achronim, however, the Shach and the Taz, they disagree with the Lavush. And they say that ein misablim olav means that you're not misabel on the Rishon. The child who died toch lamid, there's no avelos for that child. But the child who died la'achar lamid, so there is avelos on that child. That's the way most achronim say. Ay, this cheshbin that they come from the same tipa, and therefore, if one is a nafel, the other one should be a nafel also. So the answer is that the Achronim give that we think maybe the tipa divided into two parts, but the klita of one happened before the klita of the other. So it could be that the child who died earlier, the child who died later was actually a bar kayoma, because although the seed split in half, but the klita of one is before the klita of the other. So memela, we know that they're not both the same. The cheshbon that we should give the same din to both of them is because we're assuming one tipa split. But the Achronim are saying over here that even if one tipa split, that doesn't mean they should have the same din by both. Because one tipa could have split, and there was a klita for half, not for the klita for the other half. Again, this din is very hard to say. That ein misablim olav. Does that mean that you're not misabe on the one who died early, but you are misabe on the one who died late? That's the maskana of the Shach and the Taz. The Lavush said that there's no avelus on both children. That's the way Lavush said it. This issue is actually two different girsaos in the Rishonim. If you look in the Taz, he presents this entire issue. He quotes that there is like a mistake in the girsa, that on the girsa of the Rashba, and that's why they ended up saying that there is no avelos on both. The pashtus is that there is avelos on the second child, but there's no avelos on the first child. In the older Shulchan Aruch, they have something called the Miluim. In the Miluim, they are mekayim the opinion of the Lavush. And they say that when the Lavush argues that there's no avelos on either, the Lavush is correct, even though the Makar HaDavar and the Arizaruan and the Rashba would seem to indicate that there should be avelos on the second one. But nonetheless, it remains a suffix, and suffix avelos lahakel. And therefore, you don't keep any avelos. Now, this idea that suffik avelos lahakel, even and therefore you don't keep any avelos, would seem to indicate that even though it's a suffik in metzias, right? The way we're explaining the din, the shaila is, are the two children from the same piece of zera that split, they should have the same din, or maybe there's klit on one, not klit on the other. These are sfeikas and metzias. Do I say, so you get the impression from Se'if Tes that we also say, against what Rav Schechter has in the Sefer Be'ikve Hatzon. I think that's the reasonable approach, etc. Now, this issue of whether I say suffik or halachic devei meko ba'avil by a suffik and metzias, meaning when I know that the metzias is one way, can I say halachic devei hameko nonetheless? This issue comes up as follows at the beginning of Simin Shin Ayin Hei. We'll come back to the end of Shin Ayin Dal in a few minutes. The beginning of Shin Ayin Hei talks about when is there avelos, when does avelos begin? So halacha is, avelos begins by stimas hagolol. We'll talk about what that means. What about if you have a case of stimas hagolol during bein hashmashos? What do you do in that case? If the stimas hagolol is at a time when I'm not sure what the din is. So that case seems to be that I would say halacha kedivrei hameikel, and therefore I would treat the first day as a day of Shiva, right? I would say that the Shiva began earlier because halacha kedivrei hameikel, that we'll say that the Shiva began at the stimas hagoyal and the stimas hagoyal during bein hashmashos. So I'd say yesterday is the day of the haskalas avelos. That's what the din should be. Rav Moshe Feinstein paskins this way. In Chilek Dalin of Yerideya Simin Samach Beis, Rav Moshe paskins that way also. Rav Moshe says halachik kedivrei hameikel during kvurim bein hashmashos. More than that, Rav Moshe says that you could say halachik kedivrei hameikel ba'avel even to rely on the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam by Zmanei Hayom. Okay, it's well known there's a machlokas between the Grand Rabbeinu Tam as to when, let's say, Tzeis HaKoy Chovim is. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the traditional understanding is 72 minutes. The Gaon says that Tzeis HaKoy Chovim is not based on 72 minutes. Tzeis HaKoy Chovim is based on an astronomical phenomenon when it's really dark. And therefore, Tzeis HaKoy Chovim is earlier than 72 minutes, according to the Gra. The Pashta says that it depends in your area of the world at the time of year. That is the Tzeis HaKol Chovim according to the Gra. The Gra's comment about the Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam in Orach Chaim Reish Samach Alav is Hachush Machish, is that the Rabbeinu Tam is against the reality. I look at the sky. It's Mamish Finster. It's entirely dark. So therefore, you can't say that it's not Tzeis HaKol Chovim. That's the Goin's argument against the Rabbeinu Tam. Again, I'm presenting things very simply. The Chush Machish of the Gra is probably a little more sophisticated, but the standard way of saying it is that the Gra's argument about Chush Machish means that the Rabbeinu Tam is against Metzius. Based on this, Rav Schechter holds that you cannot say Halacha Kedivrei Hameikel by Avel to rely on the Rabbeinu Tam at all, because we know the Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. And I don't say Halacha Kedivrei Hameikel but Avel against the Metzius. So years ago, my aunt Shifra died, my father's sister. And they began the Kavura. In Israel, they bury at night. They began the Kavura a few minutes after Shkia. I spoke to the head of the Chevra Kadisha afterwards. He said that they began the Kavura like 6 minutes after Shkia. It takes around 15 minutes to fill the ground in completely. The Shaila is, when did my father's Shiva begin? Did it begin yesterday or did it begin tomorrow, right? If the Kavura is done, let's say 21 minutes after Shkia, the Kavura is in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, the assumption is that Me'ikar Hadin, the Groz Shita, ends up being around 14, 15 minutes, is really Tzeisak Lechavim. Some are Machmir, Bechil Mechel Tukachinsky is Machmir till 20 minutes. In this case, the Kavur probably finished 20, 21 minutes after. Can you say, Allah Gedereim HaMekel, that the Shiva started a day early? So the Chevra Kadisha people in Eretz Yisrael told my father that the Shiva started a day early. When Rav Shechter happened to have been in Eretz Yisrael at that time, he went to be Menachem Avot, my father. My father can confirm the story. My father asked Rav Shechter the Shaila about when his Shiva began. And Rav Shechter decided, I have no idea why, ask your son. That's what he said. Like, gee, thank you very much. Like, Rebbe lo yada, Rebbe chiyam minayin lo. Like, come on, right? So the Chevra Kadish in Yerushalayim, what they were saying is that 21 minutes after Shkia, you could rely on the Rabbeinu Tam's Zman to start the Shiva a day earlier. But the way Rav Shechter holds, that you don't rely, you don't say halachik d'vei hamekal by something that's a Shaila in the Metzias, like we've been developing this entire shir so far. So therefore, Rav Shechter's argument is that you can't rely on the Rabbeinu Tam at all. We do everything like the Gra. So therefore, and Rav Shechter has this in the Sefer Bikvei Atzilim, page 260. Rav Shechter says you can't rely on the Rabbeinu Tam at all. V'tzarech iyun divrei harav igras Moshe. So Rav Shechter decided, I guess, to punish me, like by saying, "Oh, ask your son, let him pass in the shaila." And afterwards, I spoke to him in the Beis Medrash. So he's like, "Yeah, I saw your father. His mom is very nice. He went to be Menachem Avot. My father was seeing Shiva in Eretz Yisrael. He stopped by Menachem Avot. I said, okay, Rav Shechter, like, what's going on here?" He said, "Yeah, I have a piece of my sefer about it." Like, I don't know exactly why he did that. I don't know what was going on over there. But that was the story. That's the question of whether we say halachic kedivrei hamekel bo'avel by a shaila in Metzias when I know for sure what the Metzias is. That's one of the issues. There's a lot to say about these dinim of a ben lamed, right? We pass again, there's no avelos on a child, teich lamed yayim. The Metzias is, so what did I do? So thank you, Yoni, trying to punish me. So I felt the Shema should start a day earlier. I guess Rav Shechter said, I have a few other cheshbonos in terms of, we could talk about what's considered stimas hagolal. Give me like 15 minutes in the shir, and maybe we'll talk about that cheshbon as well. We'll talk about that. Now, the din of that baby teich lamed, there's no avelos. Again, we noted that bezmanenu, this should not be true. If you know for sure the child, you have sonograms, etc., it's a din metzias. You can't say necessarily the child is a nefel. Nonetheless, there's a whole halachic literature on the child who dies toch lamed. The Chsam Sefer has a tshuva about whether you need me'es la'es. Do you need 30 days me'es la'es? What does me'es la'es mean? That means, let's say the child is born at 7 p.m., do you have to wait until 7 p.m., right, on day Lamed for the child to be Eis Nefel, right? So the Chsam Sofer writes that L'chol Mili, we don't assume that you need Me'es La'es. There's a Tosfos at the end of Erchin where Tosfos says that L'chol Mili, we don't need Me'es La'es. That's the Psak of the Chsam Sofer. The Briskers are Machmir on this, no? I think Rav Soloveitchik said that his father woke him up the day of his bar mitzvah at around 11 p.m. He had gone to sleep, and his father woke him up to say, you have to say Kriya Shema now, because when you said Kriya Shema, like at 9 p.m., it wasn't yet me'es la'es of your bar mitzvah. Therefore, the Briskers were machmir for this shita of me'es la'es. The Chsam Sefer says that even in Inyanei Avelos, right, the sheet of Me'es La'es is in Gans and Nidcha. It's a totally rejected shita. Okay, fine. Briskers sometimes like to follow totally rejected shitas. That's a din d'oraisa, potentially Kriyashma. So Moshe Soloveitchik woke his son up. He woke up the Rav to say Kriyashma later on. Now, There's another shaila though, which is if I don't hold of me'es la'es, that means b'haskolas yom lamed already, the child, or b'haskolas yom lamed aleph, the child is considered a ois nefel. That's the way the psak seems to be, right? Yom lamed is kalifne lamed, the beginning of yom lamed aleph, 1 minute into yom lamed aleph, the child is ois nefel. That seems to be the psak in the pischei tshuva. The problem is, however, that in Inyanei Pidyon HaBen, we paskin that you need a Chodesh Shalem. See, the question is it a din of Lamed Yom, or is it a din in a Chodesh? A Chodesh is an astronomical reality. 29 days, 12 hours, and Tufshin Sadi Gimel Chalakim, and 793 portions of an hour. That's the din of a Chodesh Lahalacha. The Badei HaShulchan quotes the Machlokes HaPoskim. He puts the Erech Shai here in Avelos, and he quotes the Shach in Hilchos Pidyon HaBen, where the Shach and the Magen Avraham have a Machlokes, whether you have to be Choshesh for these additional 12 hours and 793 chalakim is around 45 minutes. 12 hours, 45 minutes, something like that. So Reb Vaiva Cohen is machmir on this. He says, tzarech li'in l'dina. He's not necessarily machmir. He's not sure about if it is after chaf tes yom, 12 hours, and 793 chalakim, maybe that's considered already a chodesh, etc. Again, the pashtus in Shulchan Aruch is that you need the beginning of Yom Lamed Aleph. And we won't rely on that shita lahakel. So again, are any of you guys like really good at math? There's some ways that you could have Chaf Tes Yom and 12 hours and 793 chalokim even after you're ready into the 30th day, etc. We'll leave that point as it is. This type of math gets me dizzy. Okay, so back to the end of Shin Ayin Dalin. There's a din, Se'if Yud. Al Rabo Shalim Do Chochma, so there is Aninus, but your Mevarech Umizame Nemisabel Bechalitzas Sando Bechodine Avelos Yoim Echad, meaning Rabo Shalim Do Chochma, so there is 1 day of Avelos. I remember when I was in high school, in Yeshiva Farakaway, so Rabbi Per, the Rosh Yeshiva, told us that he remembered that when Rav Aaron Cutler was nifter, so all the boys took off their shoes and sat down on the floor for 1 minute. They observed like 1 minute of Avelos. We paskin that this din of Avelos, Rabbi Shalom Do Chochma, applies even Mixas Hayom to Chol Hayom. That's what the Taz over here writes in Se'if Katin Hey. There's a little bit of a girsa issue in the Taz. He makes a mistake. It should be shelo lishtos yayin velo lecho basar kol hayom afilu la'achar kavura. The din is that you sit down shiva for 1 minute, but you should not drink wine or eat meat all day. The Taz, the way we have the girsa, says ad achar kavura. It should really be afilu la'achar kavura. That seems to be the halacha that appears in Shulchan Aruch. When we say that Aninos applies, that 1 day, we spoke earlier about Kriya for Rabbi Shalom Do Chochma. These are the genim of Avelos. In Vav Kohen on page 38 has a suffix about whether all the genim of Avelos apply, etc., or only some of the dinim. You could look over there. He discusses that. Se'if Yud Aleph. It says in Shulchan Aruch that the Nasi dies, even though everybody's mitame to him, there's no avelos. Now, we already pointed out when we learned Kriya that the din, that we don't have a Nasi today. A Nasi is like the head of Sanhedrin. Shulchan Aruch is supposed to be a halacha sefer. It's supposed to quote dinim as they come up. How come they're quoting a din of a nasi? So the pashtus is that they're referring to a machlokes between Reb Chaim Cohen and the other Rishonim. Reb Chaim Cohen, as his name would indicate, was a Kohen. Reb Chaim Cohen writes, had I been around when Rabbeinu Tam was Nifter, I would have been Mitame to him. This is in the Ksub, in the Sugya in Ksubis on Kuf Gimel Mebeis, which is the Sugya of Ashkafta de Rebbe. When Rebbe Yehuda Anasi died, so like wild stuff happened that day, and Rebbe Yehuda Anasi died, so even Kaihanim were Mitame. Rebbe Yehuda Anasi is a Nasi. But the Reb Chaim Cohen is saying that the din does not only apply to a Nasi. He would have been metame to the Rabbeinu Tam also. The Agos Maimini says that I'm not sure Reb Chaim Cohen is right. I'm not sure he's right. He's mesupik whether Reb Chaim Cohen is correct. Reb Chaim Cohen said definitely would have been metame. Agos Maimini says he's a suffik. It could be that the idea here in Shulchan Aruch of Nasi, and we spoke about this with respect to Kriya also, is the Nasi that's referenced in the Reb Chaim Cohen, thinking the Rabbeinu Tam is a Nasi, meaning that the Gadol Hadar has the halach of a Nasi. Right? Rabbeinu Tam is clearly the Gadol Hadar. So therefore, Reb Chaim Cohen is saying that I, as a Kohen, would have been mitameh to, I would have been mitame to the Rabbeinu Tam. That the din of Nasi is even relevant bisman hazeh, according to Reb Chaim Cohen. Although the Hagos Maimini is misupik, there are two ways to say this. Either ein safik motzi midei vaday, either the vaday of Reb Chaim Cohen is more powerful than the safik Hagos Maimini. That would mean that for the God Adar, a Kohen could be mitame even. That would also answer my question about why Simon Shin Ayin Dalet is written the way it is, right? I thought that Shin Ayin Dalet should be connected to Shin Ayin Gimel about Tumas Kehanim, but this line, the end of Shin Ayin Dalet, is a din about Tumas Kehanim, and it could be that Shulchan Aruch is paskening that for a God Adar, a Kohen is Mitame. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is that we hold Taka Kohen would not be Mitame, and just that language of the Reb Chaim Cohen made it in, but the focus of the Shulchan Aruch is the Ein Misablim Olav, that there's no din of Avelos for the God of Hadar. The Gra writes that for Tuma, they make him like a Meis Mitzvah, but not for Avelos. Now this whole din ends up like being very funny, no? I'm going to have a Kohen being metame to the God of Hadar, but you're not going to sit Shiva. Amos Avlim, right? You're going to sit Shiva for like 1 minute, like it says in Sif Yod, for Rabbo Shalom Do Chachma, assuming Nasi is a God of Hadar. So the Kohen is going to be metame, but there is no Shiva. That's the way the din would appear. It is a little bit strange. It is a little bit strange to have this halacha. I don't know. The end of Simin Shin Ayin Dalet is one of those topics that the scholars are really into. There was a minhag. It's a minhag that's quoted in the Reb Asher of Lunel. It's a minhag that makes it in the Meiri, meaning this was a minhag nafut in Provence, that there was no avelus al ben harishon o ben habachor shemes la'adam. That when your first son died, there'd be no avelus. The Torah writes about a Bukhar, that the Bukhar is Kodesh LaHashem. So it's Ki'ilu, the child is not your child. So therefore, there'd be no Avelos on a Bukhar. This Minhag Zakti Rama is a Minhag Ta'os. It's a terrible Minhag. Right? There is a Chiyuv of Avelos for a Bukhar and for the firstborn. Nonetheless, the minig is that the parents don't go to the Beis HaKvaris when the Bukhar died, etc. Now, if you look in Professor Sperber's Minhagei Yisrael, Chelek Aleph, on page 15, he gives a whole rishima, a whole listing of Minhagei Tos at the Rishonim quote. The Rabbeinu Tam is famous as saying that Minhag is Osios Gehenim, because certain Minhagim send you straight to hell if you keep the minig. It's a bad minhag, and that's this minig tos also. But every minig tos, right, the tradition that we have, or the tradition, I don't know if we have, the tradition Professor Sperber wrote his book about, is that every minhag ta'os has some rationale behind it. So we know the rationale. The Bukhar is Kaidash Lashem. This rationale carried over to Nyanei Pidyon HaBen. By our Pidyon HaBen, we say this funny Lashon. My bias tfei, right? The Kayan says, what do you want? Do you want the Bukhar? You want your kid? If you want the kid, give me some money. If not, well, the kid's going to belong to the Kohen. The assumption is that the kid is Kodesh Lashem. And then that's when the kid is in the mother's womb. Once the kid is born, the kid becomes the property of the Kohen. So the idea of being pulled at the Bukhar, on some levels that you're being pulled at a Bukhar, that's Ki'ilu, the child, belongs to the Kohen. I remember at one Pidyon HaBen in Yeshiva, Rabbi Cohen said that maybe the child, maybe the father of the baby should say, you pay tuition, I'm not pulled to him. Yeshiva tuition is so expensive. I remember Rabbi Cohen like going on, and those of you who've experienced the Rabbi Cohen Musar Shmuz know exactly what I'm talking about. This minhag that the Pidyon HaBen really means that the child is not yours until the Pidyon lived on in Provence, and there would be no avelos for Beno Bechor. Not only did the minig live on, but the minig was extended to the firstborn son, even if that firstborn son is not a Bechor, based on the Mefarshim al HaTorah, that that by Makas Bechoros, right, it's not only Makas Bechoros, the Rishonim say, it's any head of household is a din of a Bechor. So therefore, the Rishonim Provence extended this, and there would not be misabel on the firstborn child, boom, categorically, whether it's a Bechor or not, even though the din is based on the Bechor. The Torah Tamima has a wild explanation. You know, Yehuda had two children, and they both died because Rishiche Saritza, right? They both died because they didn't, the ability in the son Zerah, Lachiv, right? Etc. They both died. Er and Onan. Now, what's the pshat? The second child is named Onan. Onan is like a really weird name. It sounds like Aninos. It sounds like, right, this is a name for Avelos. So the Torah Tamima writes that the second child is called Onan because the Targum Yonason writes that there is Aninos and Avelos on the second child, not on the first. That's what the Torah Tamima says. And that is an early source for this idea, which is a minig ta'os, a minig shtus. It goes back to a pasuk in the Torah that the child is named Onan. I like these types of things. I think they're a lot of fun. If you look at Professor Sperber, Minhagei Yisrael Chelek Aleph, pages 205 and following, he has Arichus Devarim about this minhag of not being misabel for the firstborn son. We don't have this minhag, that's a minhag tais, but the Ramah adds a second minhag, that the parents don't go to the kvura of the first son. The pashtus in the shach, in Os Yud Aleph, is that the parents do go to the kvura of the second son, v'chein ohagen, meaning apparently the shach in his time, right, 1621, 1662, coolest person ever, the shach. So even in the Shach's time, there was a minhag that the parents would not go to Avelos for the firstborn son. There, that minhag lived on for a very long time. Again, one of the funny things about Yiddishkeit is sometimes how a minhag, which is Yesoda Batos, could go on and on for a while. Okay. I just want to begin Shin Ayin Hey very briefly. May Masai Chal Avelos Mishin Nikbar V'Nigmar Stimas HaKever Ba'Ofer Miyad Maskal HaAvelos. Avelos begins by what's called Stimas HaGolol. Stimas HaGolol, we noted, there's a three-way Machlokes HaRishonim. Either Stimas HaGolol means Kisui HaAron, or Stimas HaGolol means you cover the kever ba'afar, or Stimas HaGolol means like when they would bury in caves that they would like roll a big stone to cover the cave. Shulchan Aruch seems to be rejecting entirely the Shita of Rashi. The Shita of Rashi is that Kisui Ha'arain is considered Stimas HaGolol. When you nail in the coffin, but that's Stimas HaGolol according to Rashi. Shulchan Aruch writes, Nikbar v'nigmar Stimas HaKever Ba'afar, meaning when the entire coffin is, when the entire kever, excuse me, when the grave is filled in with dirt, our practice today is that we make an outline. When you do a levaya, you make an outline of the grave and you try to have a little bit of a mound on the top. That's what we call the Stimas HaGolol. Some of the rabbonim say it's not called Stimas HaGolol until you put in the marker that says so-and-so is here. Right? That's what we consider Stimas HaGolol, like the Shulchan Aruch. Rashi's Shita seems to be in Gansin rejected, in Gansin abgeschlacht, as we would say in English. The problem is that Rashi is not completely rejected, l'fi ani yastaiti, because the Shach in Shin Ayin Gimel Se'if Katin Yud Aleph, that's in the Din of Tumas Kohanim, that a Kohen is only Metame until Stimas HaGolol. So the Shach writes that Rashi sounds like the Golol is the Aron, but Zak the Shach, that's not really correct. The Golol, Stimas HaGolol, means covering the Aron with dirt. It does not mean Stimas Kol HaKever. And the Shach proves this from a Gemara. The Gemara says that the mace knows everything that's being said about him until Yashuv HaOfer al HaOretz, until the coffin is covered with dirt. Meaning, at that point, the mace doesn't know what's being said. At that point, there's some mitzvah of kavura. Most assume what that means is once you have three tefachim of dirt on the coffin, according to the Shach, that's kavura. And that is Stimas HaGolol, according to the Shach also. That means Avelos really begins when you have three tefachim of dirt on top of the coffin. Although the Mechaber rejects the Shita of Rashi entirely, the Mechaber holds it's only Stimas HaGolol when you have the mound and you finish the grave. But according to the Shach, I paskin like Rashi, but the Shach reinterprets Rashi, that Rashi does not mean when you put the nails in the top of the coffin. Rashi means when you cover the coffin, when there's a dirt on top of the coffin. So in that case that we had before with my father's sister, who is Nifteres, so then in that case, right, what's the issue? They began the Kavura 6 minutes after Shkia. Takes like 15 minutes to finish it off. So that'd be 21 minutes. That's after Seis HaKoychavim of the Gra. But they began at 6 minutes after. At how many minutes after do you think you have covering the coffin with three tefachim of dirt? L'cha'ora, that is not 15 minutes. Right? How long does it take? You have three tefachim of dirt. 2 minutes? So that means that it was really during Bein Hashmashos. One could argue that the Bein Hashmashos of the Gra, which extends until, let's say, 11 minutes or 13 and a quarter minutes, whatever it is, during that Zman, I have a suffix, I consider it yesterday. What Rav Schechter says is I'm not going to rely on the Rabbeinu Tam, right, to say that against Rav Moshe, who says that you can rely on Rabbeinu Tam for suffix, halach de ve'meko ba'avel. So I'm not going to rely on the Rabbeinu Tam. But a suffix in Bein Hashmashos, one could argue that's a suffix in halacha, not a suffix in Metzius. Like the Ritva has in Yuma, that Bein Hashmashos is both Yom and Laila. It's not a suffix in Metzius. Is it Yom? Is it Laila? By suffix in Metzius, maybe I'm not going to be Mekel, but it's a suffix in halacha. So if that's the case, I thought that you could begin the Avelos the day beforehand, because maybe the Stimas HaGolol, according to the Shach, was the day beforehand. So Rav Schechter smiled when I told him this cheshbin. I have no idea what that means, no? No idea. Right. But he smiled. I told him the cheshbin. That's why I felt that my father could begin the Shiva a day beforehand. Again, had Rav Schechter answered the question, he would have said the day after, but it seemed to me that the cheshbon was that you could begin the avelos, they can begin the avelos beforehand. Oh, Shulchan Aruch and Shinayin Hey, Sif Aleph, it just continues. Sif Aleph, there's many exciting dinim in Shinayin Hey, but we'll just continue Sif Aleph. It says, Nikbar, Nigmar Stimas Hagola, Ba'afar, Maskal Ha'avelos, Me'atif Rosha, Ve'eno Cholitz Min Alaba Chiagia Lebeso, Ve'achshav Nagin Lachlotz Min Al Achas Stimas Hagola Miyad. Shulchan Aruch writes, technically you should be Me'atif Rosha at that point. And when you're Me'atif Rosha, that's the Haskalas Avelos. Technically, you don't remove your shoes in the Beis Olam. You remove your shoes after. But in the time of the Mechaber already, the minhag is that they remove their shoes in the Beis Olam. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that since we don't do Atifas HaRosh anymore, so therefore there's no nihug of Avelos by Atifas HaRosh, so we need some sort of nihug Avelos to begin the Shiva. So we take off the shoes to begin the Shiva. That's what the Gaon says. Now, that's what, excuse me, the Aruch HaShulchan says. Now, l'chora, this idea is not really correct. The Aruch HaShulchan is assuming that the Avelos does not begin until you have some sort of Nihug Avelos. The last Ba'er Hetiv here in Shin Ayin Hey quotes a tshuva of the Ranach that Echad Shenikbar Samach L'Shabbos V'Tekav Achar Kfura Pavku Peneim L'Beis HaKnesses V'Lo Yashva L'Oretz. They don't do any Nihug Avelos at all. Right? Friday is the first day of Shiva, even though they didn't do any Nihug Avelos. The Pashta says you don't need, technically, Nihug Avelos to begin Shiva. Shiva begins by Stimas Hagolo, whenever that is. There's a minig, you take off your shoes, there's a minig, you do Ethav HaRosh, but that's not necessary for Haskalas Avelos. Haskalas Avelos is at Stimas Hagolo. Right? This is part of my cheshbon also, that even though you don't take off your shoes until later on, right? I believe my father did not have his Shiva shoes there in Eretz Yisrael at that time. Someone had to go and bring him his Shiva shoes while he was sitting Shiva. Even though you don't take off your shoes, the Avelos begins right at Stimas Hagolo, whenever Stimas Hagolo is. The minig is, you cover your head, but that's not necessarily... mutter. It's not necessarily necessary. I should say it like that. One second. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber's lashon is that achar stimas hagolo miyat. You begin the avelos right away after stimas hagolo. Reb Fivel Cohen is uncertain what that word miyad teaches me. What does it mean that you're maschil miyad? You should just say achar stimas hagolol. So Reb Fivel later on entertains the idea that maybe miyad means that there's an iser of shihui. You know, an avel is not allowed to leave his house. Avel yetzim pesach beisol kol shiva. The idea of the miyad, says Reb Fivel, is that you should go home right away. Don't hang around in the Beis Olam after. Oftentimes after the Kavura, right, the Avil stays in the Beis Olam, people menachem him or her there. Says Reb Fivel, go home, and that's the pshat in Miyad. I thought a little differently. I thought the din is achar stimas hagolo miyad, meaning that you don't need any niho gavelos, like the tshuva of the Ranach that the Bar Hetiv quotes at the end of the simon. Reb Fivel is uncertain, right? Is there a heter for the Avelim to hang around in the base kavaris? Should they go home right away? The minig is that the Avelim hang around. He says maybe the iser of an Avel being yotze mi pesach beso is once you come into your house. But before you go home, there's no iser. Remember, I had a cousin, Rifozev Chait, my cousin Zevi. He was like the only cousin like my age who like I was friendly with. So Zevi was nifter. And at his Levaya, right after his Levaya, his sister Tzipi asked me, is she allowed to go home to like feed her kids for a minute before going to her parents' house where she was going to sit Shiva? That's the Shaila. You're allowed to delay going to the Shiva at all. So I told her she should begin the shiva right away, that her husband or someone could take care of feeding the kids. According to Reb Chaim Cohen's Cheshbin, that maybe the din of Al Yetzim Pesach Beso doesn't apply until you're inside Pesach Beso, so it would be permitted. Again, I don't know. It doesn't seem right to me. But, so the Ovel is allowed before he goes home to like go to and fro and yonder, right, to take care of lots of things. It doesn't seem so reasonable to me that that should be the pshat. Oh, let's just do one other halacha. The last Ramah here in Sif Aleph, Hayasavar Shenikstam Hakever V'Hischol His Abel V'Hakach Nodalo Shetaa Choser U'Maskel HaAvelos Mechadosh. Again, this is a case that you think that there was Stimas HaGoylol already, but you made a mistake, right? It could be Nogeya in the day case like we mentioned. So in that situation, you have to be Maskel HaAvelos again. The Achronim, however, say that if someone thinks that his sister Sarah died and was Maskel HaAvelos to Sarah, and then it turned out that his sister Miriam is the one who died, so then the Haskalas HaAvelos does count. Even though in Shin Mem, in the Dinim of Kriya, we say that a person tore Kriya for Sarah, that Kriya does not work for Miriam, but Kriya Luchud and Avelos Luchud. So by Avelos, beginning Shiva for the wrong sibling helps. By Kriya, it doesn't help. That's the halacha. Hard to know exactly what the pshat in this din is, but I think psychologically, Kriya and Avelos are different. Kriya is a halacha in Shas Chimum, in the overwhelming emotion that a person has. It could be that a person is more emotional about Sarah dying than about Miriam dying. Sometimes people have closer relationships to one sibling than the other. So it could be you're not able to take Kriya for the wrong person. But Avelos is more about a certain profound sadness. That profound sadness doesn't really change which person died. That like low feeling, perhaps there's no difference. Again, I don't know. I don't know a real svara why there would be a difference between Kriya and Avelos in terms of the mistaken identity of which sibling it is. But nonetheless, that seems to be the halacha. Okay, gentlemen, questions, comments, observations? Okay, Chevra.
I did just a quick question, because you said earlier about Rav Schechter and the 8 months. Does that mean that once we cross 9 months, then there's going to be Avelos for any, you know, even a stillborn or anything like that, or if there's a loss of pregnancy, like, you know, post the beginning of 8 months?
Again, so a lost pregnancy before the baby is dead, there's no Avelos. Before the baby is born, there's no Avelos. A lost pregnancy after the baby is born, when scientifically you know that it's a full-term baby and just something went wrong after, like sometimes you have a case that the baby like gets caught in the umbilical cord, Rahman Litzlan, that's like a not unheard of case. So in those cases, Rav Schechter would say that there is a Avelos, even though the straight reading of Shulchan Aruch is that there isn't. If the baby is taka sick, so then it becomes a little more questionable. Maybe the Din of Nefel do apply, but we know that, right, if you know that the baby was a healthy baby and full term, etc., you know it's not a Ben Ches because we did sonograms, we dated it. I think got that's it. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we should have happier topics to discuss.
I mean.